We are recording.
We are not live.
We are not live. We're much better taped. We tried to be live. We even tried to record what would have been the live stream, and it didn't work so great. But thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us and sticking
thank
it out.
Thank you, 36 people.
Yeah, that was super awesome, and I'm so sorry it didn't work out.
Yes, you guys rock. Thanks for chatting with us in our poor man's Discord.
thank you to our network overlord, Traydorm of Traydorm yes. Productions for our requisite $1 for having streamed.
Yes, that's thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, boss. Oh, by the way, we're brought to you by Nerd and Tie. Nerd and Tie. When you need 99 cents in a crisis, Nerd and Tie.
This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we're all still stuck at home. Well, some of us are. And we're wondering if this will accelerate the fall of video game retail. Almost case in point, Future Retro is about free video games we downloaded. And we answer your questions. Yes! Denchi Mail is back.
So, welcome to the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. This is the best podcast that we're making tonight.
It's true. We are making it now as we speak.
Yes. We are podcasting. So, what is a podcast, you might ask? Well, the podcast was developed in the early 14th century by the Earl of Podcast.
Hmm.
Who was losing a poker game, and he said, boy, bring me an intro and an outro on two slices of rye. And they said, well, what shall we call this piece of audio? And he said, why, name it after me, the podcast. And then everyone is like, I'll also have a round of podcast.
That's usually how it works. In my deep experience.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord. So, hey, Vank.
It is great to talk with you, Sean. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to be anywhere.
Because even the worst technical issues are better than the best Twitter feeds about the coronavirus. So
it's not a Famicom Dojo live anything without technical issues.
No, we've never done something without technical issues live. I was gonna be like, remember that time we were both in the same place, but we were late because we were being almost beat up by that karate guy. And then we came, and then we couldn't get our videos to play. And wow, we should not do live things.
There was a disc, right? Like there was a disc we had to burn. This was the Broom Street Theater thing.
The Broom Street Theater performance, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we tried to play this DVD that I had burned. Yep. That did not go well. I went home to try and reburn it. And then Vink entertained the audience, and then we
came back
and just played videos off of YouTube instead.
I tried to get people to do the wave. It just did not work.
Oh, God. You know, whereas the promo that we recorded at the Broom Street Theater
was
on Willie
flawless,
Street, by the way.
Flawless.
Yeah,
flawless promo.
It was amazing.
The promo is one of the best pieces of work we've ever done.
Didn't use my camera to do it either, so that if that tells you anything.
So I've been recording videos nonstop for about 3 weeks now. because my company is moving towards Zooming and video making and blah, blah, blah. I was dressed up as a cat earlier today. Because
so
that's my life now.
So this decade and a half of experience doing YouTube has made you like this suddenly amazing asset. It's like, Kevin, we didn't know you had these skills. We should give you a raise, right?
It's wow, you have a lot of skills. We shall postpone your firing.
Yeah, Japan's a little different, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, welcome. Welcome. And today's topic is death of retail.
I mean, this is a topic that we had on our list to talk about, but now is especially pertinent in age of quarantines and social distancing.
Yep. Although I got to say that we're going to have two different takes on this because whereas in the United States, it looks like one of the biggest game retailer, I think, in the world other than Walmart, maybe Walmart sells more games, GameStop is possibly on its last legs. Whereas in Japan, Animal Crossing is looking to become the best-selling physical release of all time. We handle quarantine differently here.
I mean, Japan feels like a nation full of me. So this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. But like people are like, have to stay home. Should probably buy Animal Crossing, which is what I plan to do tomorrow.
Awesome.
That's my goal, but like it's sold out all over the place here. It's crazy.
Yeah, so are Switches themselves. So I guess the people who are buying this game are the existing user base. So that's even more impressive.
It is so crazy because it went away for years, but like they're back to having lotteries to win the chance not to win a Switch, to win the chance to be able to purchase a Switch.
Oh. Boy, that's like when it first came out, right?
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, it ran for a few months when it first came out, but then there was enough. But Animal Crossing has. So retail in Japan, it's doing okay. It's doing okay. But you know what? That's not entirely true, because when I first moved to my town, there were 9 different stores I could buy video games at. And now there's 4. There's still a heavy retail presence, but it's really kind of consolidated. The little shops have kind of gone away. Other than Famicom Dojo, that keeps ticking. I hope.
Right.
I haven't been there in a long time.
Oh boy,
I'm scared to. Like Hiro's mom is in her 90s, and I don't know what I might bring into that shop. It's open as far as I can tell, but I haven't been there for months. Which is bad because they probably could use the business. So.
Right. Yeah. And what are you supposed to do?
And that's our topic right here because our video game stores an antiquated relic that's on its way out, or do they still have some value? The answer is no. All right. Thank you for joining us today.
Podcast. Let's move on to
You can support the Famicom Dojo video game podcast and web series. Turn your name cool colors in our Discord. Be the envy of your friends. Heck, you might get a t-shirt. And have your name read aloud on our podcasts and videos. This month's patrons on our Dojo Disciple level are Daniel Hathcock, Earl Grey III, Chris Berkland, Brady Cashin, Paul Spicknall, and Lena. Consider becoming a patron today and you can see cool stuff like a sneak peek of our new video on our Patreon website at patreon.com/FamicomDojo. Even a dollar is better than an ad.
Let me add a little wrinkle to this. So as much as I love limited run games, I don't love their prices.
Really? They're not that bad. Shipping's
a bit high. What was the last thing I bought that you recommended?
Real Mist.
Real Mist. There we go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I got that, but like the rest of the Myst, the rest of the Myst series, as we discussed a couple podcasts ago, is on Good Old Games for not very much money.
Yeah.
And you know, basically any game that Limited Run does is available on the eShop already.
Yeah, so, every single one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, I went and looked at some of the prices, and I'm like, oh, this is great. So I'm whereas I'm tempted on one hand to absolutely do that. I remember certain things like, well, digital services won't exist forever, and with the news that some Wii U and 3DS online services are being shut down, granted in countries where basically no one's using them.
Soft shutdown.
Yeah. Which means that they're not telling anybody, but someone got wind of it anyway. You know, it's just a matter of time, because it was about a year ago now that, that the Wii online services totally shut down, and a year before that where it was like download.
You couldn't buy points anymore.
Only.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I can't wait to do that that video about all the top 10 or the top 5 WiiWare titles that you can't play anymore. But I haven't played them yet. So I guess I could spend the money to buy the games, but I'm just doing it to make myself feel better, because I'm not really playing them, with one exception, which I'll talk about later.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I love limited run games, and their prices are reasonable for, you know, they're not charging $60 in most cases for a game, you know. But it's definitely more than the game would cost. Like, and what I hate is almost without question, every single time I buy one of the limited run things, before I actually receive it in the mail, it's already on sale in the eShop. Like, okay, Night Trap was like $3 last week, something like that. You know,
man.
But you know what? But my Night Trap is on a cartridge.
Ditto.
And like I'm willing to pay the premium for that. But the thing is, I realize that I'm in the minority here. You know, a lot of people are going to buy whatever's cheapest, you know, and kids growing up right now, they're like, if you show them the cartridge, they'll be like, you have to use your hands. That's like a baby's toy.
Man,
you know, so no, just the idea, you know what I mean? It's like, I was showing a picture of a VHS tape to kids, and they just had no idea what that was. So the DVD will be next, and then soon I will die. So I need to buy physical media so I can live forever. You see?
Yes, that's how that works.
That's how that works.
More media. Bring it in.
Yes.
My kids are familiar with discs, but maybe that'll be the thing from their childhood. It's like, oh, do you remember that before we had, you know, these chip implants in our brains?
Yeah.
Those were good times back in the 2020s and the corona, as they occasionally call it. Do you know what they're not used to? Commercials.
Nope.
So if they're ever at the grandma and grandpa's house and they're watching TV and they see a commercial, it's like, oh, we love this.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like, wow. It's like a 30-second little show about sugar. You know,
who doesn't love that?
But you gotta expose your kids to that, or they're never gonna know what WhatsApp is.
Expose them to sugar. I mean, done.
No, expose them to beer commercials.
Right.
Yes. Because kids love beer. I might be in a strange mood this evening. I just realized that this is not tonally consistent with what the Famicom Dojo podcast usually consists of.
Well, this is a flip flop. Usually, we're doing this in your morning and my evening, but
that's very true.
The self isolation has been we've had to adapt.
So. Yes. So now this is my very late evening. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning, and Sean, it's the wee small hours of the morning, or
well,
afternoon.
I mean it's 10:35.
Oh, it's the later morning.
Yes.
You see, some people have a way with words, and other people just kind of not have way. All right. Anyway.
That's great. So you mentioned GameStop earlier, and
I did,
and the news had broken around the time we recorded the last couple of podcasts that dear old Reggie the Reginator, who had left Nintendo, got a job with GameStop.
Yep.
And boy, what a not great time to make that career move.
Not a wonderful time. Not, yes. Not,
but,
oof.
To be fair.
Yeah.
It's affected more than just GameStop.
But yeah, I mean to tell you the honest truth, he had not started yet by the time, you know, and he was you know, coming in, and I mean, GameStop's already in a bad place. They've been shutting down shops left and right, and now everything's shut down except I think some of them offer like curbside pickup or something, and their online shop's still going, but
okay.
I wanna confess, because I know it's cliche and it's fun to badmouth GameStop. That's always been a thing. Like, oh, they open the games there, and they're always trying to push you into their rewards program or whatever. But you know what? I think it's because I don't live in the United States anymore. But when I go back to the States, I love going to GameStop. I love it. I enjoy it immensely. It is a shop. It is a shop with a bunch of games in it. And for me, they're all import games because I live in Japan now.
Sure, sure.
It's fun to see how much the people behind the counter actually know about games. And sometimes they're good. Sometimes they know it quite a bit. And other times I can feel super superior. So like, it's win-win.
On the other hand, though, I really enjoy in Wisconsin. There's a pretty healthy cottage industry of used game stores. So like my favorites in Madison, being Video Game Exchange and Pre-Played.
Yeah,
they had three locations. Now they're down to two, East and West Side. There's Gaming Generations all over the state. Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point.
For now,
Wausau had one that became a gaming garage or something.
Like,
the people who had been running it made their own because
mutiny.
I went in there.
Yeah, mutiny.
Yeah. So I did get from them, and I'm going to call them out for this or shout out for this, not call them out. Shout out for this. I was when I was trying to build my own converter so I could get the zapper to work on an NES for that video. Sorry, not the zapper, the Famicom light gun on an NES.
Yeah.
So I could play Super Russian Roulette with an actual Colt 45 or whatever that's supposed to be. Colt Army Action, whatever. Realistic looking gun. They did let me use they just gave me a broken controller so I could just use the cable to scavenge it. Haven't done that project yet. Need to stop by the in-laws' place, which I can't do right now.
I know, and get
some more stuff. So maybe now is the time for those little home projects. Buy some stuff on the online shops that aren't having a general strike right now.
Yep.
And make an adapter. That seems like a fun home project I could possibly be doing. But anyway, I like these shops a lot. And I believe since, because they aren't essential businesses, they aren't open right now.
No. I mean, some of them, GameStop tried to skirt the law for a little while, claiming to be an essential business. Mm-hmm. But I mean, more so than just the death of games retail is the death of retail in general. I mean, man, I love bookstores still.
Oh, yeah.
But I rarely buy a book other than on Amazon, you know, because I can save, you know, I can save money and it's very convenient. And but the thing is, if I had the time, I would love to just browse. I would love that. But it's hard to find that kind of time these days. You used to make it because it was your only option. But now it's, I don't know. I like shopping in my underpants. And when I go to Barnes and Noble, they don't like that.
Weirdos. They have couches for a reason.
I know. But you eat one bag of chips in your underwear there, and they get all indignant. this is a weird vibe today.
Well, I mean, right. I mean, it is strange that I do feel a little entombed by all my stuff. So
you feel entombed. I am like, if there's an earthquake right now, I will die. <You know? laughs> But what a way to go! I'll make the papers.
Oh. Oh yeah, I mean, good thing all of those laser discs are on the bottom, right?
No, yeah, they're all on the bottom. No, I'll be crushed by a variety of smaller things. Man dies under stack of Muero Pro Yaku. Yeah.
God. You have so many Switch games behind you. I'm honestly in awe.
I do. And that's not even all of them. The limited edition stuff, and there's still some more upstairs. Switch is my baby. I love the Switch. It would be really cool if I had time to play it. But you know what? I haven't bought a game of any sort, of any type, in the last like 3 months. Retro, new, anything. I've had some problems with my little shop. Oh, I have a shop. Japan Retro Direct. Just search for it. Japan Retro Direct. The mail, first they stopped EMS service, then they stopped airmail of all types to the United States. So now all I can do is get things on a shipping container. It takes 2 or 3 months and sales have plummeted. Nobody wants to wait that long. I get it. I understand. Nobody wants to wait that long. I don't want to wait that long for stuff. But for those listeners who are not in a hurry, I am still technically open.
I have a box of stuff I want to send you, but if you can't send airmail, I'm guessing that I can't either.
I might be able to receive it. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. Yeah.
I was going to call the post office and get that figured out because, you know, I haven't gone in since this whole thing started, and people need shirts delivered. They need their DVDs and stuff from the Patreon. And,
yeah.
You know, I've mentioned on Discord that's a little bit on hold for the moment, but, you know, we're still going to do that. But, you know, I meant to give this give you a box of cool things as a result of our awesome supporters supporting us so awesomely, that will make your streams better. But then, I don't know, based on a recent experience, maybe you don't really need it.
Like, if I can get to the point where I'm hosting, that might be better. I don't know. I've got a very stable connection here, so.
Sure.
Anyway, so I think when I think the death of retail and it would be, you know, a harbinger, of course, of the death of physical in general. And I think that leads to, and we've talked about this at length, but the death of ownership, you know, and that's one of the reasons I want retail to continue to succeed, because if retail continues, then physical continues. And then, I mean, retail will always have to exist in some sort of way unless the new game services are like Stadia and entirely online. Someone's still going to have to sell consoles and controllers, you know?
Right, exactly. But... this is the same reason that people have been saying that Nintendo should become a software company, because we don't need their hardware. And I'm sure we're going to hear this forever if and until Nintendo does go under. But, you know, as it stands, they have, if not now, at least intermittently been Japan's most valuable company, like even more than Sony.
No. Just go on any website. They are doomed. Doomed. They've been doomed since 1893 or whatever year they started. Doomed.
So this does remind me, though, when the PS4 and the Xbox One launched, that they had tried this, Microsoft especially, that they were going to use physical media as a delivery system to get software installed in your hard drive. And to an extent, both these systems still do that, where you're required to install
things. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
But they weren't going to let you use the disc again.
Yep.
Anywhere. And there was such a backlash to that we, you know, instead of calling it the Xbox One, some of us might have called it the Xbox 180, because they did a total about face on that. I might have a video that's 7 years old now that...
Seven? No.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. No.
2013, man.
Nope. Refuse to believe that. That means that person who made that video was like 32, 33 years old, and...
Ugh.
I don't even know anybody that young.
Yeah, 32.
Oh, my goodness.
Baby.
Whoa, my God. How long have we been doing this?
A while. Don't do the math.
Nope. Not gonna do that.
I mean, speaking of Nintendo and physical, my wife and I have been playing Koi Koi, because I'm not going to wait for Clubhouse Games to come out on June 5th, but I'm going to buy it.
Yep.
Hopefully I can get a physical release.
Yeah, I mean, but, I'm sure you can, but like you might have to go through Amazon or Walmart.
Right.
Walmart's going to stay open. They're considered essential. I don't know how it is in the United States right now. Can you buy things other than food right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we to get like certain necessary supplies, we could still go to places like Target. Shopko, you know, shut down a while ago. They probably wouldn't have survived this if they hadn't already gone bankrupt.
Death of retail.
Right? So interesting thing, right? Like, due to all this shutdown stuff, I'm so gainfully employed, but I'm not spending as much money because, you know, I'm not taking the bus. I'm not going out to eat. There are a lot of things I'm not spending money on. So I have this money now, and... Not you know, not like tons, but just enough in a month that it's like, well, I feel like I should spend it to help businesses that are struggling. So you know, we made sure to like get a fish fry for takeout.
Good.
Last Friday, for instance.
I missed the Wisconsin fish fries.
Right? Ugh.
So bad. So good. So good.
I want to keep doing stuff like this because it's like I have the money. It's budgeted for these purposes. And there are places that really need us to spend the money right now. So I am doing that. But it's hard, right? Like, because I can't. If I had a gym membership, I probably wouldn't cancel it right now.
Yeah.
If I. What other things? Like, if there are just certain things that I can't do necessarily.
Yeah.
I'm not like pulling back, and I feel like if there was something I could do to help physical games retail, I would totally do it. But all I can do is buy limited run games stuff, it seems.
Yeah, and they're not shipping right now. They're
right.
You're placing your order, but they're not shipping right now, which is understandable. And
absolutely,
so it's controversial. Some people say they should stop taking pre-orders right now, but if they do, they got to let go all their staff. So,
right.
it's a kind of bad situation. I don't know. But yeah, we've been doing what we can here. There's restaurants that can no longer have people come in because a lot of Japanese restaurants are tiny. You know, they only you can't possibly do social distancing.
Right.
So And they don't have the infrastructure here to do the takeout because it's not cultural for to do the takeout at most
right.
places. There's fast food places that do takeout, but most places don't. But there's a restaurant right near us that they're selling like the sauces that they make, and so you can take it and put it on your pasta or your whatever you're having at home, and it's definitely not as good as the restaurant experience. But we're trying to help our neighbors stay afloat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's shop has gone online only, and it's with mixed results.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of game budget left at this point. But
right.
But
look at all those games you have.
What? No, I've beat all those.
Clearly.
I have not beat any of them. But that's the thing. Like but as I said, I'm probably going to buy the Animal Crossing tomorrow, and we're going to try to buy it from one of the non-chain stores, you know, so just to help out. Because, I mean, it would be so easy for me to go on Amazon, save some money, order it with a click, it'll be here by tomorrow, but I really want to try to support some of these places so that they exist when this whole thing is over.
Right, right. I mean, I'm just hoping I still exist when this whole thing's over. So there.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, yeah. I do not like reading your Facebook lately because it's just a new thing to worry about every day. It's like,
I mean, there's some good news in there, but I don't know. I think that there's light at the end of this tunnel.
Sure.
And I think that we'll all be transformed at the end of it.
I know. I'm just, well, that's your dream, right? No, wait. Your dream is Transformers.
Yes, very close. I haven't gotten a new one of those lately.
Oh, I'm just really hoping that the light at the end of this tunnel is not the headlight of an oncoming train. So
Right.
But you know what? On happier notes, like, I think we've got at least another generation of games retail. I really do. Mm. You know, right now the Switch is the hot thing. Still over half of its games are being sold physically. It would be insane to cut that off entirely. You know, but it's already been confirmed that the PlayStation 4 and the next box will have drives in at least some of the models. So
yep.
I'd say we've got another generation of it. But beyond there, it really just depends on how much these streaming services, these things like Game Pass, all of these things take off. Because if they're really successful, that's it. Do you think, you know, I mean, I wonder if all the big players do go retail only. I'm sorry, retail only. we've decided.
Wow, what an about face!
We've decided to cut piracy by putting games back on mask ROMs.
What's a 180 of a 180? Let me think about that for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that number?
Okay, but anyway. but if they do go digital only, I feel like someone's going to fill the gap for a console that still takes physical cartridges. I mean, we've got the Evercade right now. That just came out recently, which is retro games, but still, you know. I guess we'll see, but I hope that, because they're just... Is it nostalgia talking? But I remember just going to, my parents would go shopping for something else, and they'd drop me off at the game store, and I'd look around until they dragged me out of there. You know, just looking at the boxes, discovering new games. This is in the era of when internet was not very fast and not very good. You know, that's how you discovered new games. That and Game Pro magazine. Actually, I was a fan of Video and Computer Entertainment magazine. But anyway, you know, that's something that I'm going to miss. But you know what? I don't know if young people will miss that because they may never have really experienced it that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, already the idea of opening a game and reading the manual in the car on the way home.
Right.
You know, kids don't know that, and adults really shouldn't be doing it, especially if they're driving.
Man, that's the truth.
You know, I mean, for good or for bad, these kids don't have to experience trying to play Tetris on their Game Boy in the car on the way back and only really being able to see the pieces when you go under a streetlight.
Reminds me of that of those scenes from early episodes of Ava.
Yeah?
Very, very atmospheric. Anyway, so, yeah, you know, why do I keep thinking of doomsday scenarios? All right. Back to the present. I think we can be heartened despite the current curveball that physical anything has been dealt lately.
Yeah.
That like the Xbox One X and PS5 haven't even tried to push anything similar to what happened 7 years ago.
No.
Like it's not even like a whiff of it. And I think it's because, you know,
well,
just because
that,
like,
you know what? There is. Xbox One released that model without a disc drive last year.
Okay.
The digital only. And I bet the low, like, we don't know the new Xbox models. At least some of them will have a disc drive, but I bet the low cost model won't. I'll bet you it won't.
Okay. That is an interesting, Okay. So they're trying. But yeah, the point I was getting at was that even though the companies want to try and they're going to keep pushing it, consumers aren't ready. Like they back down from those plans because consumers just don't want it. And maybe there will come a time when they don't care anymore. But it hasn't been nearly as soon as people have been predicting.
Nope. And,
so go ahead.
They're definitely more ready for it than they were 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, especially here in Japan where physical still is king. I mean, it's changing. It's definitely changing. Digital becomes bigger every year here, but like they would be shooting themselves in the foot to have an online only console here.
It'll definitely be a war of attrition, but maybe it'll happen eventually, but we still have books, you know,
for now,
they've been around for centuries. I'm just saying.
Yeah, someone should read them.
Hey, piles of shame of books are a thing. I tell you what.
We should start a book podcast.
If we start another podcast, it better be about something more interesting like TV.
Like TV?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we could do something like that. Sure.
If you want. Should we move on to Future Retro Pile of Shame?
Let's move on to Future Retro Pile of Shame.
Cool.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time. Or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing. And we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. Well, who wants to go first? I have a thing, and you have a thing. Pile of Shame.
Do
my
thing.
I have a Future Retro, y'all.
Ooh. Wait. If you have a Future Retro, that means you've been playing a video game.
Not only did I play a video game, I finished a video game.
Who are you? I don't know
anymore.
Hold on. I knew something was different here. He's been taken over by people.
Podcast people.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Thank you, Nerd and Todd. Our people.
Oh, man. So after we recorded the last podcast, like just a few days later, Sony offered up Journey and the Nathan Drake Collection, which is Uncharted 1 through 3, for free for keeps on the PlayStation 4 store. I was going to call it the eShop, but that's not quite right.
Yep.
And as of this recording, there's still 3 days left to redeem that. I did a quick video about it and actually downloaded and played Journey.
Yep.
On a pre-recorded stream that worked much better than what we had just tried.
Yep.
And maybe we'll do more of that if that's the best way that it works. But it was an amazing experience. I didn't get to do a lot on the video I recorded, but I kept playing afterwards and took some more clips. Have you played Journey?
Yes, I have. I played it while my daughter was watching, and she was just in awe the whole time.
I guess it goes without saying then that my future retro is Journey, even though it's a PS3 game from the past, and this is just a remastered version of it. But I never had a PS3, so this is my first time.
Oh yeah, you didn't. You were an Xbox boy.
Xbox 360 and all those unopened games and unfinished games I have to worry about.
Yeah.
But you know, weirdly. Spending money on a game doesn't make me want to play it more, and apparently getting something for free is, I don't know, I guess years of curiosity and wanting to play it, and it was an incredible experience. I like games that are minimalist to begin with, and this really fits the bill. There's a
yeah.
very interesting way that it tells its story without literally any text whatsoever. Like you get like the Journey title screen, but after that there's nothing. The only text, quote unquote, is your personal icon that floats above your head when you use your powers, and apparently other people. I didn't know that there was co-op in this, and it's something that just naturally happens.
Yeah.
Was this part of the original game?
Yeah. And
oh,
yes it was.
Yeah.
And you, yeah, it's not co-op in, you might have to explain
sure.
that a little bit, because it's not, yeah, it's just another person on that journey
yeah.
with you.
And that was the yep. thing that I think enamored me the most about the game. Like it was kind of sad being all by your lonesome, but I'm assuming this game
yeah.
is still playable that way. Without the online features.
Yeah.
But.
Well, maybe Journey is the friend we met along the way.
I wasn't sure what was happening at first. At first I thought that there was like, yeah. like an NPC or something, or like it was like
no,
another version
no.
of me from like a different playthrough or whatever. But,
yeah.
You can't. There's like no chat. You can't communicate. There's no text. The only thing you can do is, you know, use your little powers, and then it makes little tones and stuff. So you can kind of chat
yeah.
with each other, and if you want to work together, then you can follow each other around and do what you got to do to progress to the next level. And it was just, it was a weirdly transcendent. It was a really transcendent experience, and I can't really put into words how nice it was. Like the only thing you can do is cooperate. Like you can't fight each other.
Yeah.
You can anything you do only like progresses your mutual goal, which is to go on this journey together.
Huh.
And different people that I played with handled this differently, but the first person I played with was probably my favorite, partly because it was so new and interesting, but like the desire to cooperate was definitely there. Other people didn't
yeah.
seem to understand what was going on. We kind of go our separate ways, but like I deliberately tailed this person, not knowing. I was like, "Who are you? I'm very curious." So I was just following them around for a bit, and then we
yeah.
followed each other.
Yeah.
And one of the great things that you can do is you have this sash that flows behind you, which is like.
Yeah, maybe we should talk
yeah,
about how the
I'm,
game
I'm,
plays
I'm sorry,
real quick.
I'm sorry. So you're like
it's okay.
you're like this tall Jawa, basically.
Yeah, yeah, kinda.
And
kind of genderless, mm-hmm. you know. So
very very dainty feet.
So exactly. Anybody could put themselves in this character, you know.
So,
and
go ahead.
Okay, and you're just basically skimming over these gorgeous but simple landscapes.
Start in a desert.
Which just get increasingly more and more beautiful.
Gorgeous.
As you find what I thought were little pieces of fortune paper, but maybe that's my interpretation.
Right,
which
it's a Japanese
builds
game.
Up this which no it's not. Not. It is not. Not. It's made by that game company in Santa Monica. So
okay.
Yes. Have you played any of their other games?
Someone
Flow and Flower.
Someone
and,
mentioned those
and
to me.
Coming and if you have an iPhone, you can play their new one, Sky.
Okay.
And that or just wait, it's coming to Switch next
okay.
year. Or this year.
Okay.
But yeah, very, very cool stuff. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So this sash is like your power gauge, and it can get longer and longer, so you can store up more power.
Yep.
But so unless you like go around collecting more kami, essentially, you need to power up that way around the landscape, and that becomes a much more consequential mechanic later on.
Yep.
But when you have a friend with you, you're able to power each other up.
Yeah. Yes, or not.
That's the
thing. You can either help each other. You can't really hinder each other to any means. But like you can just go off and do your own thing, or you can collaborate non-verbally. It's a very interesting concept.
Yeah. So like having that realization that you can do that, and like both of you having that realization without communicating, makes it a much better experience. I wouldn't say too easy, but you're able to explore the space in ways that you couldn't by yourself, which is
it's not a metaphor
for life.
It's not a super
hard
game. It's not a difficult game. It's very easy to beat, but if it was one you had to get good, I don't think it would be as good of an experience.
I agree.
Yeah.
I get a little testy though when I see a friend whose sash is longer than mine. So,
but anyway,
yeah,
good choice.
I won't say much more about it, except I did get to the end and it was very satisfying and I wanted to play again right away, which is a mark of a good game for me.
Yeah. All right.
I
guess.
What do you got? Future Retro or Pile of Shame?
Well, you know, I was going to say it's kind of Future Retro, kind of Pile of Shame. I was going to talk about Animal Crossing, because as I mentioned, I was planning to get that one. But you know what? We talked about it a bit earlier. So I actually did play a game this week. I kind of forgot about it. But I was playing Pajama Sam 3.
What's a Pajama Sam 3?
Well, it's the third game of the Pajama Sam series.
Oh, sorry. Silly me.
Now, perhaps... Now, you're not familiar with Pajama Sam. How about... Are you familiar with Putt-Putt? He's a pink car.
A little.
No? Okay. Okay. How about... Let's see. What's the other one? Spy Fox? Freddy Fish?
No.
How about Ron Gilbert?
Ron Gilbert? Oh, no. Is this one of those many games I should have played but didn't?
Ron Gilbert, when he left LucasArts, started another company called Humongous Entertainment, and they primarily made point-and-click adventures aimed at younger children. And Pajama Sam, the Putt-Putt series, Freddy Fish, Spy Fox are all, I think, very nice adventure games with cool animation, full voice acting, featuring a lot of very famous voice actors. But they are very simple and very easy. Pajama Sam 3, You Are What You Eat From Your Head to Your Feet, is about someone who's... Pajama Sam is a boy who becomes a superhero when he puts on his pajamas and a cape. And he lands in the land of snacks and sweets.
Yeah.
Where who have imprisoned the healthy food.
Oh no.
Because they're the delegates, they're going to have a food pyramid meeting. So it's basically political parties, the vegetable party.
That's amazing.
Like there's a lot of stuff in there for adults. Like, so anyway, you know, Ron Gilbert was involved in the series in general, but this one was written by Dave Grossman, who worked for Telltale Games, LucasArts, things like that. He was a co-writer of Secret of Monkey Island.
Okay.
And Day of the Tentacle, and he wrote the dialogue for this game. So it's very, there's a lot for adults to get, and these point and click games. You see, there was a bundle on Humble Bundle maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't know, which had basically every Humongous game in a bundle for like $40 or something. And I'd played a couple of them previously. I played the Putt-Putt game on the 3DO way back in the day. But so almost every one of their games right now is available on both Steam and iOS.
Oh, wow.
Actually. So my son has played Putt-Putt on his iPad, well, not his iPad, my old iPad, which we take out of desperation occasionally. But we were playing this one on my computer. My kids were just all gathered around it, and they're just yelling, like, click that, click that, click that, which is a fun way to play a point-and-click game. It really is. And my son was laughing so hard because pretty much everything you click in the game, even if it's not important, animates.
Okay. Sure.
Or makes a sound or talks or like much more so than actually a lot of quote unquote real adventure games.
That's something that I would like the most about an adventure game that I would make.
Yeah.
Definitely have a lot of those things.
Yeah. So you can, I mean, not everything has, and almost everything, if you click on it a second time, does a different thing. What's interesting is it's really the evolution of point-and-click adventure games for after point-and-click adventure games were no longer financially viable for adults.
Right.
These were bought by schools, by play areas, by parents, you know, so it's really an evolution. The animation is quite good, you know, often they're high resolution rather than, you know, and they kept making them into the early 2000s.
That's awesome.
They're done with the Scum engine, same as the LucasArts games, but in many ways, it's been enhanced for them. So, my future retro pile of shame is games by Humongous Entertainment. I have not played a lot of them, but they're cheap. You can get most of them fairly cheap, just a couple of bucks, and they're fun. They're fun, and you can play them on any modern computer, or I think iOS, probably Android too. I don't know, but
this sounds a little backwards from a story I heard about people who were trying to make educational software, or like, you know, like animated books and stuff, like interactive books, and then fell backwards into video gaming. And I'm so embarrassed that I can't remember who this story was about.
You are talking about the creator of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Am I? Sweet.
Yeah, he was trying to make educational games or kids games at least, but apparently all his characters looked like nightmare fuel, so he just went with it. that happens. But anyway, I think that's really interesting. A lot of the early games in the series were actually written by Ron Gilbert or people who worked at LucasArts, because when they stopped making point-and-click games, a lot of those people joined Humongous Entertainment, which no longer exists. It only exists as a holding company now, but they produced like 30-some games.
That's awesome.
And a lot of them are really good. Now, again, they are games for kids, so they're you know, you're not gonna get really challenging puzzles or anything else. But if you have kids of your own, they are super fun to play along with. So, I mentioned that I hadn't played a game for a while, but no, last weekend we played that and we had a blast. Get a couple of those, play them with your kids.
So interestingly, like right now that the schools are closed down, there's a lot of game like stuff that they're doing already, and a lot of websites that they go to. So they're getting a lot more time in front of like a computer or like gaming stuff than they normally get. So we've actually not been giving them that video based recreation time as a result.
I can imagine that. Do you know what my kids got for the lockdown? They got these giant packet of Xeroxed homework.
Oh, boy.
That's it. And no instruction of how to do it either. So basically my wife has to go through and check all of it. And since the homework is of things they haven't actually learned, also to teach them. Japan is still the land of the fax machines.
I guess. Yeah, you were saying last time too. My kids have like five or six different websites that they can visit to do various different kinds of activities.
Yeah.
Like interactive reading, art programs. Like there's a superior version of Microsoft Paint that they more or less get to use. Can I
access that somehow?
I don't know. How do you make a Seesaw account if you're not a student? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to pay for it, but like, I don't feel my kids are getting really any education right now. Like, I've been buying some books from the United States to teach, because I can't teach them. I can't read them their Japanese textbooks. Right. And so I'm trying to teach them things there, but they're just missing out on education right now. They're just missing out.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting pivot, and they were able to do it pretty quickly. Like, they were already using these tools as supplementals, and now it's like the primary thrust of their education. So, I would like to expose them to this stuff if it fits.
Yeah. But anyway, so you know what? That's ending it on kind of a high note. I think it's rare that both of us have played something that we recommend. I'm telling you, I've got the itch to play Journey again. I'm going to fire up the PlayStation 3 tomorrow because it's Golden Week now.
Yeah.
So I got a week with the kids, and there's nothing violent in that game.
Absolutely.
I can play it on the TV, and I think even the young kids would be interested to watch
like,
it.
Yeah, go there, do that, do the thing. What happens?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's
exactly
great.
And that's the best part of gaming right there.
Do you have a PS4?
No, I don't. I have a PS3, and I've got Journey for it. So
I wonder if the online still works with that then.
I would imagine so. They haven't shut it down. They haven't shut down the online store, but man, I don't know if online gaming still. I don't know.
Right. So interesting thing, right? I didn't have to have a PS Plus account to do the online portion of this.
That's interesting.
Which is very interesting.
You know what?
I didn't even think
maybe
about
I should
that.
Buy a PS4 tomorrow to play Journey.
If you can... Yeah. What? Yeah, you got 3 days to get this.
Oh no,
game
I've already got it because I've got a PSN account. So I just did it on the computer.
You and I could possibly. Well, I guess you get randomly matched up, but still, there's a possibility. I'm just saying,
Sean. I'm not going to mince words here. I always just imagine it's you, no matter who it is. I always imagine it's you. This takes a weird turn when I do it at night. We should do it in the morning when I'm sleepy and not so weird.
Phrasing.
And now, a haiku. Retail distancing. Buying new games at curbside. What's the Epic Store?
All right, should we do a little bit of Denshi mail? I asked some questions from our Discord.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it quick. Yeah.
All right. Well, while you're bringing that up, I'll read the first one from Not a Bear.
Okay.
Who has a picture of a bear.
You know what?
I love this.
You know what? I don't believe him.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure. Actually, you know what? I do believe him. You are not a bear, sir. Or madam. What is the minimum play time you want from a new release game?
4 hours.
That seems good. You know what? Maybe 10 hours is like my maximum play time too. Like if things start taking longer than that, I'm not going to get through
like,
it.
Yeah.
I tried to fire up Mass Effect Andromeda. I spent an hour just like bumming around the Nexus and talking to people and trying to solve a murder. And I didn't really care for it.
Like I am my answer back when I was 30 would be I think a game that's charging $60 should provide at least 20 hours of entertainment. You know, I consider sure. $3 an hour. You know what I mean? So if I'm paying only $10 for a game and it's a couple hours, that's fine. But now I'm much more about the quality of the experience than how long it is.
Sure.
I don't have time for padding. You know what I mean? If the story is super engrossing through the whole thing, yeah, that's fine. Give me a long game. But if it's just long for the sake of being long, of here's an open world, now go over there and fetch me jar. Get ye flask.
Yeah. No.
I just don't have time for that kind of stuff. So yeah. So what about you? What about you?
Sorry, I was reading the next question. So Journey, I think, was right about the right length. I might have put 5 hours into it. I didn't actually keep track, but I finished after a few sessions.
Yep.
And I was okay with that.
One of the most enjoyable games I've played in recently is Oxenfree. It takes about 3 hours to beat it, but you'll instantly want to play it again for another 3 hours, and I didn't play a third time through, but I definitely got my money's worth out of that. Whereas I've got Dragon Quest XI right now, and I bet it's wonderful. But when they say it takes over 100 hours, I don't even want to start it.
I did play through Oxenfree 3 times in a row back to back. I started a fourth, and then kind of petered out.
Yep.
And I need to finish Night in the Woods.
Yep.
I believe that would be... Or Old Man's Journey. Like, if these are the kinds of games I like, Old Man's Journey, I probably want to.
Oh, that one only takes, like...
To pick
you can,
up.
You can beat that in 2 hours.
Okay. Yeah, Monument Valley is a good size, too. I haven't finished Monument Valley 2
I just
yet,
got
though,
Monument but... Valley 2. I haven't played it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. It was free a few days ago.
Oh, my gosh. Of course it was. Yep. Is it still free? I'm going to look that up.
I don't know.
It's so free. Do you want to read the next question?
All right. The next question is from our good friend Lewistrations. Go and read everything by Lewistrations. His website. Just search for apricot cookies and go to the first one that's not a cookie. That's the best way to do it. It's a web comic about magical girls and it's wonderful. And he writes, what software do you recommend for streaming to YouTube? Never mind.
Well,
Lewistrations is a jerk. Don't go to his site. Don't go to his wonderful site.
I was using Streamlabs OBS and YouTube.
Yeah.
I think the entire problem was my hardware, and Streamlabs just like took a big dump.
Yep.
And just couldn't produce enough frames per second.
Yep.
Because we tried to record locally, had the exact same problem. So I don't think it's my pipe. I don't think it was YouTube. I think it was just the application and or the hardware running it just couldn't handle it. I could maybe regular OBS is better.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I can try it. I have it. But it doesn't have as many nice bells and whistles, but maybe I don't need them, especially if they're just going to bog everything down. Other than that, like at this rate, I almost kind of just want to stream from my PS4 directly, if that's how hard this is going to be.
Yeah. Okay, last question. You want to read it?
Sorry, which?
I can read it. Oh, there's tons. Oh my gosh, I didn't scroll. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's just go through quick. Mario, do you prefer your cheese to have holes? What's your favorite cheese? My favorite cheese is Munster. Or Roquefort. I like the blue cheeses as well.
I haven't had a Munster.
Do you prefer your cheese
to
have holes? Do you know in Switzerland American cheese has holes? No, I'm just kidding.
I do not prefer the holes.
Well, if you don't want to eat the holes, just eat the cheese and leave the holes on your plate.
That seems fair.
Okay.
Dang it, Lewis. I'm skipping that one.
How many new GeoPockets do you have in your pocket? Zero right now, but I have three of them behind me. I bet I could get them all in my pocket right now, which makes for terrible radio. Okay. Go ahead.
Daniel H. says that we addressed most everything about the Famicom and disk system in the first season. I had felt that way, and I was like,
nope.
Let's move on to 16-bit. And, nope. And Vink's like, there's so much to talk about. There are tons of things that we have written down that we would love to do still. It's just finding the time and the coordination
and the stuff.
Like there's a story about the Donkey Kong Soul Wars as we've termed it. There's a script, we just got to like sit down and record
it's
it.
The
and
best
it's amazing.
Script.
I love
it's
it.
The best script we ever wrote. Yes. Anyway. It's great. You're going to love it in 2024.
Yeah. Jeepers. there's that, you know, there's a follow-up to the Minus Worlds video that we were going to do. A couple of follow-ups actually. We should just do them. Why don't we just do
let's
them?
Just let's do just do that. Yeah, let's just do it.
I've heard people
let's just do it. Yeah, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, what's next?
Satoshi says, the Neo Geo Pocket Color game Gal's Fighter is on Switch eShop. How do you feel about this, and what games for the format would you buy on Switch, if any? I'd buy Fazalia again in a heartbeat. That was fantastic. I'd buy Biomotor Unitron again. I would buy Beast Busters Dark Arms. I would buy a lot of Neo Geo Pocket games again, and I think it's awesome that Gal's Fighter is on, and I love how they did it in that you can emulate two different Neo Geo Pockets side to side by turning the thing on its side and two people play it on a tabletop. It does the head-to-head from a single system. Super cool. But you know what? If they really want to sell me on the thing, what they need to do is release a Joy-Con with a clicky stick. They release a Joy-Con with a clicky stick, and I will buy every single release of the Neo Geo Pocket Color eShop games.
Kanacha says, do you think the Wii U will become beloved years from now like the Dreamcast did?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Why? What? What? No.
My Wii U was beloved to me.
No.
Didn't we call it the best gaming console that we had until the Switch came out?
Yep, but that's the thing. The Switch took all the best software from it already. There's very few that are trapped in the Wii U right now. And Nintendo, I loved the Wii U, but everything that made the Wii U wonderful is gone now. The exclusives have pretty much moved on to the Switch, and the Miiverse is shut down. I loved Miiverse. And the virtual console, you know, I suppose is good, but it was better on the Wii. So the thing I loved most about the Wii U was being able to play on the gamepad away from the TV, but the Switch does it so much better. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll probably be beloved as a console for modders and hackers, because you can modify to do all kinds of things and, you know, add an external hard drive to do things like that. But no, the Dreamcast is beloved because there's still a lot of games that are only on the Dreamcast that never got ported to anything. So,
dang.
I mean, what's other...
All right.
The only Wii U games that I really want right now that would make me hook up the Wii U again is Xenoblade Chronicles X, which probably will get ported. Maybe the what's it called? Not Spirit Camera, a Fatal Frame. And there's a couple other ones, but most of the games I loved best for that system are on the Switch with enhanced versions of them. So, I don't know. Do you have a differing opinion?
I haven't really fired up my Wii U hardly at all since the Switch came out, so you've kind of made your point. I think the only times that we have played it are before we got two Switches, the ability for the kids to all three of them to play Splatoon at the same time, because they could pair up on the Wii U and then someone could play on the Switch, and then Lego Dimensions. That's been about it. We still fire up the Wii to play Mario Kart 64 though.
Yeah.
There are a lot of these. Let's just pick a couple more each, maybe.
Okay. You grab one that you want.
Mario asks if I've been back to Elevation Burger since the video I did about it, and I don't know why I picked that one, but I haven't, because I haven't been back to Magfest in the DC area since then. It was about 7 years ago, like the year after my first child was born. I haven't been back to Magfest or a lot of conventions, to be perfectly honest. So I would totally go back, but there's not one around here.
Yeah.
But that's the reason I went to it. That was my second time there when I did that video, I believe. So, but I just want to talk about Magfest and how awesome of an experience that was and has been and everything. But, conventions postponed right now. Can't really go to those. Yep. So,
Satoshi says, Sean and Vink, how has the COVID-19 crisis affected your gaming time? I can't really play video games that aren't kid friendly right now, because I'm still working and the kids are always home. But it's allowed me to play more games with my kids, so I'm gaming more, I think. So, yeah. Sean?
It hasn't really changed anything. I'm still playing a lot of chess when I get the chance, and I'm on a horrible losing streak right now. I don't know what's going on. It takes a lot of brain power and logical stuff, and I think I'm just tired. Yeah. So I can't. I'm making dumb mistakes. So a game like Journey, perfect.
Yeah. Oxenfree, great game. Oh, their new game, The After Party, is available now on the Switch. I should
After Party.
Yep. I should really get that.
Oh man.
Well, okay, let's play that.
Okay, let's play After Party.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
I'll do one.
Okay,
more.
One more.
Nuts. Sorry, I said nuts, but then I also read, what's your favorite snack food? That's not what I meant. Not related. I thought I saw one that I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Okay, Chris asks, will you guys ever go down the rabbit hole of RGB and video scalers?
Probably not. No. The TV that I have still has a built-in VCR and no remote control, so it always says game in the corner. So, no, I'm not the target audience. I can't turn it off.
It's interesting. It's interesting, right? And like one of the most popular stuff Vink sent me videos was the one about the AV modded Famicom.
Yep, yep, yep.
And people had a lot to say in the comments about what was wrong with it and how they didn't. So this is like way outside of my wheelhouse and honestly my interest zone.
I mean, but if someone sends me a Frame Master or Frame Meister or whatever, I'd love to, but like it's not. I'm more interested in collecting software than I am in hardware. Lewis Stations has asked, what do you love most about your co-host? I think you should answer this one. And then I'll answer his other one. What do you hate most about your co-host?
Oh Lord. No. I mean
let's spread love right now. Come on.
So not even like in the context of dojo stuff, but like usually when one of us is down, the other one is up.
Yep. And, almost always.
And in every aspect of life for these last two decades, that's been
oh my goodness, it has been
immeasurably helpful
and detrimental
and appreciated and detrimental.
But it's very, very true. Whenever one of us loses steam with this whole dojo experiment and project, usually the other one is suddenly excited about something, whatever. Like when you know, it usually happens around March that I get really excited about it for some reason. I don't know why, and do a bunch of videos. And that's usually the time Sean's like, and then I get super busy and Sean's like, you gonna film some stuff? And I'm like, right now. And you know what, Sean? I brought back the tripod. I brought back the camcorder. Might be filming some stuff this week. So, but luckily, we never both hit that low point at the same time. We've got this karmic balance or something.
When we do Famicom Dojo is over.
Oh yeah,
we'll still talk.
Yeah, we'll, maybe.
But
well, I think I like the fact that like I have known Sean for about 20 years. Yeah, about 2 decades, and I feel like about 20 years ago we started a conversation, and we just haven't finished it yet. Like we could pick up at any point just where we went through, and I've known Sean in a virtual sort of way for much longer now than I ever knew him.
It's true.
In a physical sort. Hold on. Let me start that again.
Phrasing. Physical's better. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Oh, social distancing. Social distancing. Social distancing.
You can't get much farther apart than the United States and Japan. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But these two weeps can't even stand each other.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details.
I guess on that note, thank y'all for coming.
Yep.
We've been cleaning out our video backlog on the YouTube channel.
Yep.
So things that we started and didn't finish.
Yep.
Or little snippets of things. I actually found some dojo snacks on my phone. It, guys, this is how much I like want you to see this stuff. Is I couldn't get things off of my phone. I found out that there's a setting on the new iOS that tries to do some kind of smart conversion for whatever device you're connected to. If you turn that sucker off, you can actually pull things into your PC and these weird video or photo formats that is trying to convert to JPEG that just doesn't work for some flipping reason. You can just get an extension in Windows 10. So I was actually able to get everything off my phone finally.
Nice.
After, I don't know, iOS 11 or 12 did this to me. So it's been 2 years since I've gotten anything off my phone. So
I have a Mac. I just use AirDrop. Yeah.
I know, because you have a Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife has a Mac too, but I got to get that coordinated.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with it. So I got that handled. One of them went up. I got another one coming up. It's weird. Like it's like a video pile of shame that's also about a box of shame.
Nice.
Very, very meta, but there are some other things that we filmed that are in a done-ish state that are also going to start poking out, and you know we'll do that for as long as I have things and
Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs, no more
content,
iTunes. Well, thank you all for joining us.
By Lewis Sledge Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Better take.
Famicom Dojo.